Yeah. All right. All right. So as we begin tonight, we're going to look at the idea. This is, I think we have actually a couple more commandments. And I'm actually taking it very slow. I kind of want to just think back what we talked about the weeks before, just a little bit of a rehearsal. What is one of the greatest detriments to raising children? Yeah, that can do it. It's our attitude while we're dealing with children. Can you remember? Pride. Well, that's a big one. Not the one I'm thinking of. Anger is not of God. And it's not God working through you to accomplish what needs to be done. It's so counterproductive. And it takes the grace of God. Anger is sometimes just who we are. We just got to ask God for grace to change our spirit. Because it becomes a total distraction to the young person that you're trying to train when it's a personal thing between you and them. It should never be that way. It's not between you and them. Their issue is with the Lord. And you're training them up for the Lord, like Hannah did Samuel. She said, I'm going to train him up, give him back to the Lord. And that is very, very important. We talked another thing. Well, what is the basis for, what are you looking for in your child? What are you trying to get to? No. Heart, their heart. You want to get to their heart. And when we look at that verse, when the Bible says even a child is known by his doings, you can kind of tell where their attitude is and what their heart is. And my son, give me thine heart. You want their heart. And you want them to, you don't want to, it's like anything in the Christian life. I have to go to church. Or do I want to go to church? I have to give, or do I want to give? I have to go to an outreach meeting. I should go to that, or I want to. And all the difference is what? It's the heart. God doesn't have your heart, and so this is a constant goal. And I mentioned last week. Parents starts with an M. They are doing what for their children? They're modeling. Modeling. What are you modeling? What are you modeling? Christ. You're modeling Christ. So if that's flawed, their picture of Christ is going to be what? It's going to be flawed. If you're not living by faith and you're not doing the will of God and through God's strength and God's wisdom, what are they seeing? What are they seeing? Seeing the Spirit of God or the flesh? It's the flesh that's operating. What do you think the success of raising your children if modeling the flesh is what they see? What do you think is going to happen? How will they act? They will act out in the flesh. Well, we say, well, they're not saved. Well, they never will get saved if they don't see the modeling of Christ. And you don't, that your body, your, everything about you points them to Christ, and you'll be talking to them about that. The inability and their heart's desire is something that you're pointing everything. You need Jesus. Jesus is helping me. God is giving me grace, and he will do the same for you. Yeah, you say, well, that seems kind of difficult at a young age. The earlier you start, the better. You know, that's what they hear. I mean, I've been listening to some preaching, and it falls back on that every time. The successes were when they seen the modeling of Christ, and the detriments when they seen the modeling of the flesh. And so it's very important. So we're looking back just a little bit. We're still keeping in mind that the heart is primary, that you're still modeling, and that they need. And by the way, I think one of the greatest things, if you really don't think, you really think that somehow that this is going to happen, every parent should be praying for their children in a very serious manner every day. Every day, praying for your wisdom to know how to deal with different situations. It should be something that, well, you see, well, I don't think, you know, if you don't think that way, then you're probably going to struggle. And that shouldn't be. It's not what God designed. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that so true when the Bible says, without you we can do nothing. And yet, in the same way, the Bible says, with you all things are possible. And Lord, when we understand that without your help, there's not going to be the success, no matter how much we may hope for it or desire it, Lord, it's an accomplishment that you do through us. To be that kind of person, be that kind of loving parent and grandparent, or maybe just an adult in a young person's life. And Lord, all those are just so important. Lord, we take special time in our home and in our church. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide us to recognize that we can, through you, have wisdom that's necessary and needed, Lord, to teach our children and train our children, to model you in front of our children. And Lord, how important these Ten Commandments, what role they do play in helping them to see that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at some verses. You might want to write them down. We are actually looking at Deuteronomy 5, 19 through 22. And we're going to start there because that's Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 19. Bible says, it says, neither shalt thou steal, and that's the commandment we're going to look at tonight. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, maidservant, ox, or ass, or anything that is his neighbor's. So we're looking at this idea of theft or stealing. Well, if you could say, what would be the opposite of stealing, what would that be? Giving. So what we're going to say, if we want to teach our children what it means to walk with the Lord and what kind of spirit that God wants us to have, it's not that we're selfishly wanting for ourselves, but what can I give? Well, how can I give? So that eighth commandment, and Jesus gave that as a commentary in the New Testament. Before we get there, I want us to look at a couple verses, and I want to keep this thought in your mind as we go through all this. Leviticus chapter 19, and I'd encourage you maybe to write that one down. Leviticus chapter number 19. Remember, this was all the children of Israel were being taught these things prior to entering into the Promised Land. These are the books of Moses, and Moses never entered into the Promised Land, but he did prepare this next generation. And in Leviticus chapter 19, if you look we'll start in verse number 18, he says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor, what? Have we heard that a few times? We're going to hear that all through the Bible. So if you want to put a plaque, and it's in the book of James, we'll turn there in a minute, James chapter 2 and verse 8, it's called what in the book of James? As soon as you get there, you just raise your hand when you recognize what it's called. James chapter 2 and verse number 8, what is it called? James chapter 2. I want you guys to see it. What's it called? It's called the Royal Law. That's the umbrella that's over all the laws. If you could get this one law, you won't have any trouble with any of the rest of them. You say, well, I can't remember them all. You don't have to. All you have to do is remember the Royal Law. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't teach your kids all the different rules and laws. Just teach them. Well, did you treat your sister or your brother the way you would want to be treated? Did you do something to them that you would like to be treated the same way? Or are you sharing? Or you weren't sharing? Or you were hurting them? Or whatever the issue is, did you what? Did you fulfill the what? The Royal Law. And so that's an overarching thought that God gives us throughout the Bible. And when he says that in 2:8, if you fulfill the royal, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. You what? You do well. You're going to do well. You're always thinking, well, how? You don't know how to do something. Well, how would I want to be treated in this situation? That ought to be embedded into your son or daughter's heart. How do you want to be treated? Then that's how you should treat others. And so we get that. Galatians chapter 5, we're in the neighborhood there. Turn back a few pages. Galatians chapter 5. And so this is kind of a hallmark throughout the Bible. It's repeated, taken from the Old Testament and transplanted into the New Testament. In verse 4, number 4, he says, in verse 13, he says, for brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the what? Flesh. Okay? In verse, but what? By, say it with me, by love what? Serve one another. So your life is all about what? Giving. It's all about giving. It's all about sharing. It's all about trying to be what God wants you to be for another person, the way you would want to be treated. In verse 14, it says this, remember, it's a repetition again, for all the law is what? Fulfilled in what? One word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One word. All the law compiled in one word. Now, does that make it easy for you as parents? Yeah, really, it should. You know, there's not a bunch of rules. It's just one. How do you want to be treated? Then that's how you need to treat other people. You keep that in front of them. Rotely teach them that. I want them to get that. So whenever they come to you and they've done something they shouldn't do, what should they be hearing out of your mouth? Did you do what you would want to be done to you? Right? You know? Would you want them to do that to you? No? You can hear the voice. No. But you're going to say, well, that's what you did. And, you know, I'm certainly not pleased with that. And more than me, God is not pleased with that. The Bible says, thou shalt love. Repeat the Bible to them. God says you're supposed to. That's God's mind. You say, well, they don't have it in them. That's right. They need the Lord, don't they? So in that process, you're doing what? You're pointing them to who? You're pointing to them, the Lord, all the time. At some point, they're going to say, ah, God help me, right? And they're going to cry out at some point for the Lord. But they have to see that their iniquities, their sins, and that should happen, I think, at a relatively early age. And I encourage you to think that way and pray that way. So we have Romans 13, 9, James 2, 8, and Galatians 5, 14. I would write those down. I would keep them in front of you. So there's a framework that God's training a child in service to God by serving others. So we're talking about the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. So the focus is not focused on yourself, but it's focused on others. Not taking from others, but what? giving to others. Life should be a life of giving. And so a Spirit-led purpose is a spirit of what? Compassion. Compassion. Let's turn your Bibles to look at Luke chapter number 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 10. You'll know this very well-known passage. Luke chapter number 10, starting in verse number 29. It's interesting, if you look back, maybe we should do a... He said, maybe we'll look at the whole thing. He said, verse 25, and he said, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law?'" In verse 27, he said, and he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Did he give it right? Get it right? He did. He got it right. And so then he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to what? Justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered. So he's going to give him a real live illustration here. The Spirit of God, a spirit of compassion, a spirit of giving. He said, "A certain man went in down to Jerusalem, Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped them of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and we saw him pass by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when saw him, he had what? He had compassion." What do we see in someone that has compassion? Heart. Their heart goes out. They have a love that goes out. Somebody they don't even know. The Bible says, "And he went to him, bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow he departed and took 2 pence and gave it unto the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So loving your neighbor as yourself, when you think about it, that compassion, it has, it's not only that, but it has a life purpose, and that's a life of blessedness. So you're going to reward. God will reward. God rewards, right? There's going to be a blessedness. And we see this as as Jesus speaks to in late, and as was spoken, but as reminded, one of the things that he said in Acts chapter 20:22. You take your Bibles and turn there with me as well. Acts 20:22. Well, it ain't Acts 20:22. It must be, should be written in red. Well, my apology. Is it there? Where am I not seeing it here? Am I in the book of Acts? What is it? 20? 35. Okay. Oh, I know I gave 22 because I wanted to give context. I apologize. He says, "Now I go bound in the Spirit," and that's that point I was trying to make, is "in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." And then verse 35, yes. And I show you all these things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus. I said, it's more blessed to give than receive. More blessed. And so what is your training when you think about training your children is that instead of, what do you see in the nursery all the time when the kids go in there among themselves? And that's mine. And they'll jerk it out of somebody else's hand and, you know, and claim it as their own and maybe clunk them with the other toy they got in their hand, or, you know. And that's something that doesn't come, and it will not be natural for them, not natural, but it's something that we can and should teach, that it's blessed. Make it a blessing. And where are they gonna see that? At home. They're going to see it, you doing it yourself with other people. And get them involved in that. Get them involved. Boy, here's something we can do, kids. Let's do this. You could get them making some kind of special something for somebody. Wrap it, write a card, whatever, and put it in their hands. Let them get involved in that blessedness and how people feel when they're able to do something like that. Give them that experience and model it in front of them as well. So it's more blessed to give than receive. And then thirdly, it says a life purpose is a life of giving. So life purpose, it's all about Jesus. Jesus came not for himself, but he came to give himself a ransom for all. And he did that for you and me. Matthew chapter 25, I want you to look at that with me as well. Matthew chapter number 25. Starting in there, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, with all his holy angels with him, shall he sit upon his throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, what? Blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And notice the verses that follows. These are important. He says, for I was what? Hungered, and you what? You gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And verse number 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or fed thee or thirsty and gave thee to drink? And when saw we a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? When saw we sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. So God is all about what? It's giving. Giving of yourself. Serving. And it ought to be that we sometimes we want to give our kids sometimes the easy way out in the sense, well, you know, it ought to be, you ought to teach them from the very beginning. It's fun to do those things. It's not a pain to do those things. It's fun to do those things. Proverbs 14:13, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there with me. Well, it's a little scripture exercise tonight. 14:13. I think it's 14:31, I apologize. He that oppresseth the poor is a reproach to his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears to the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. God's all about taking care of people. You know, God doesn't just give you, say, oh, I just got enough to get by. No, God gives you enough that you can give others. It ought to be their thing. Be able to take, and you know, the thing of it is, if you're going to have, and I'll get into this, but it will cost you something. When the Good Samaritan took in this man, It did cost him something, didn't it? But he wanted to do it. Nobody made him do it. He had a desire to do it. He's seen it. He had compassion. And that should be the desire that you're looking for as you teach and train your children. You're looking for compassion. Secondly, if you'll see here, the early church taught and practiced obedience by faith, by the eighth commandment. The Apostle Paul taught, and I didn't spell this, my wife, taught the absence of, or the effect of a renewed mind. If you'll turn your, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, you'll see that in verse 17, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17. He says, "This I say, for, therefore, and testifying that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the, what, vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated," and that means that they're totally separated from, what, the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." But the next verse says what? "But ye have not so learned Christ." And so the first part of this idea that Paul taught is the absence of the effect of the renewed mind. The absence, first of all, and this is where you're always pointing your child, the absence of Christ. The absence of Christ. That's why they're struggling. And that they will always struggle. That's why you want them to, you pray for them. You pray that you'll model Christ in front of them. You'll demonstrate this giving spirit, this from that comes from the heart. And so if you're absence of Christ, they're left to the fullness of the flesh in verse 17. And the vanity of their mind. They have no other resource. So you say, my kids are bad. They are just being normal. They're behaving with their sin nature. They don't have it. But who's in the process of renewing their mind? You are. You're giving them a new way to think. God will help you. You need the Lord. And when they get saved, it can go a lot faster in that sense because they have the Lord to help them. Second, the absence of the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit. In verse 18, the leading of the Spirit. It says they're alienated the life of God through the ignorance. So they're alienated. They don't have the leading of the Spirit to help them. So what happens if you get angry with them? Then it's a conflict between who and who? You and them. Is that where you want it? You don't want that. The focus needs to be what? Between them and the Lord. Not you and them. Very important. Thirdly, the absence of faith and trusting the flesh, you leaning on what? One's own understanding. So they have no other resource unless they become, so they're following the blindness, as it says here, the blindness of their heart in verse 18, the very end there, because of the blindness of their heart. The absence of God is given in their conscience. Okay? Now everybody has, I believe every person comes with a kind of like a gyroscope in their mind. They know in their heart. You can. That's why you go out and preach and wave signs and on the street and people shout at you or get angry at you or whatever. It's because their conscience agrees with you. They don't like that. They don't like their conscience agreeing with them. So the absence of a God-given conscience hardens to this deceitfulness of sin. In verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lascivious to work all uncleanness with greediness. And so it's defining your son or your daughter. And so it's you don't want them to get hardened to that. And you keep it in front of them that the Lord loves them, He died for them, and He wants them to change. He wants to help them with all these choices and decisions they're making. and you're not getting in the way by your emotions or your anger, you're allowing the Lord to work on their what? Their heart. So they have a... In Hebrews 13, I put that in the Bible, it says that sin can, and if we allow them to continue to behave in a way that's incorrect, what happens? You could be hard. They could be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It becomes who they are. And it's your job to help them to see that that's not the way God will not allow that. And 1 Timothy 4, 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So you want to keep that conscience functioning. Okay, let that conscience, when they're aware of I need to treat my neighbor as myself or my sister the way I'd want to be or my brother the way I need to be treated, and you are being polite to them, even though you're not, if you can say things in a way that's Christ-like when you have to deal with things and not get your emotions all wrapped around the axle with what's going on, that gives them the opportunity to recognize their need. So not only the early church practiced the obedience by faith in the eighth commandment, the early church taught and practiced obedience by faith to the eighth. So it's a framework in training your children. So the positive end of this is, again, listed in these verses. You're training a child in service to God by serving others. So it's spirit-led willingness. So that's why you want their heart. Watch, when you deal with them and you see them angry at you, then that's wrong. You can't let that ride. That has to be dealt with until they come around to see that's your. I didn't do wrong. You did wrong. Okay. I don't know what you're angry about, but that's not right. And we have to correct that until that made right. And so, the Apostle Paul taught in the next few verses in verse 20. He taught the effects of a renewed spirit and a spirit-led mind. What is the effects of it? He says, but you have not so learned Christ. And so your children are learning Christ. You're modeling who? Every day you're modeling Jesus in front of them. Or you're not modeling Jesus, but I'm going to say you're modeling Jesus in front of them. You're not so learned Christ. And so that is a very important idea, the effect of the new birth and discipled. And so, so you're giving them that education they need in the idea that they need to be born again. The effects of the Holy Spirit in verse 21. So if you believe that heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So you're teaching them right from the beginning. God wants to help them. They're struggling with whatever they're struggling with, and they're going to struggle a lot, but that's okay. They're sinners, and they're learning the truth, they're learning the Word, and they're learning the leading of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you guys? Let me stop here a minute. I mean, if the problem is that if we're not... That's why I spent a lot of time... The idea of training the trainer. If this very point that I'm trying to use, you're going to model this. If you get up in the morning and say, God, I don't think I did a very good job yesterday. I think I messed up a little bit. I don't remember really trusting you in what I need to be doing, seeking your help and spending the time in prayer about for my children and for what I need to be doing. Then more than likely, then this is all going to be moot. They need to see the reality of Christ in you accomplishing something. It may be what sometimes happens, quite a bit, is that we talked about this last week, but the idea that mom and dad are to be what? One. And so when they see friction, sometimes serious friction, right, between mom and dad, what do you think that's doing for them? What's happening? Is that they agree, well, I feel like that too. Man, you can get offended, and I feel like I've... You can have issues between you and your wife, but it needs to be done in a spiritual way of forgiving and understanding and dealing with it. And you can deal with it in front of the kids. If you can't, you better go in the bedroom and put a pillow over your mouth or something. I don't know. But that's not the proper way. I'm just saying you need to figure out how you're going to be one. Because you can do a lot of damage really fast. I'm not saying, but it can be done that way. So understand that there has to be that valued modeling in front of them. Otherwise, you might undermine a lot of what the Lord was trying to do. And that's why I think as you say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I can do that. Well, you can't. Right? You can't. And when the sooner we come to realize that, the sooner you're going to say, God, help us. Help me and my husband. Help me and my wife. You know, or help me and grandma. Right? We have to be the example that they're looking for. So anyway, so the effect of the Holy Spirit, and then verse 20 through 29, he says that you put off the former conversation of the old man, which is what? Corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man, which is after Christ, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for your members one of another, be angry. What? Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It means if it happens, take care of it. Make it right. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and this is important, that he may give to him that what? Needeth. So there's that idea there. It's God's going to work in you. You're going to, instead of being a thief, we're going to be giving, that's who we are as a family and who we are as individuals. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. No greater place are you going to find. So there's that accountability. Number three, the effect of accountability and obedience you'll see here. And so there is an effect. And it'll be what will the effect be? It'll be Christ in your home. You, God doing something through you, mom and dad, that otherwise would not be possible, and your children being a witness to that and a recipient of God's will and God's strength, God's joy, God's peace, God's all the things, all the attributes that God wants their children to see. So the effect of his love, it says, we love him. Verse 30 and 32, and says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you in malice. So here we go. And I'll be honest with you, when I grew up, there was so much, there was eight of us kids. It was a riot at sometimes, you know. But mom knew how to put the riot in control. Not in a Christ-like way. But it ought to be said better of me and you. It says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving, and even as God's for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So there is this effect of his love, and we love him, and we're going to get past it. We're going to get over it. We're going to trust God to be what we need to be. And so we've got to keep in mind that the family is really the heart of the church. If it's all messed up at home, then basically if the families aren't right at home, probably it's not going to be good here as well. So the last thing we're looking at is the early church taught and practiced obedience by faith to the eighth commandment. The framework for training child in service to God by serving others in spirit-led compassion. And we see that in Luke. And we go back there again, Luke chapter 10. We covered So we see this, this compassion that comes out by serving others, giving to others. So the eyes that see a soul. In Matthew 10:33, he just didn't see somebody injured. He's seen a soul. We should look at people, that every man has a soul. Every woman has a soul. See past the distractions and see what God wants us to see. Secondly, in verse 34 of the Good Samaritan, we see what? And he went unto him, bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. There's a spirit to obey. You see a soul, but also there's a spirit. What can I do for this individual? Not what they can do for me. Two other guys went by and said, well, these guys aren't going to do, this is not going to benefit me. They went on. They moved on. So there's a spirit to obey. And lastly, a heart of love that's going to cost you something. A heart of love that's going to cost you something. The Bible says, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and set him to take care of him. It's going to cost you something. But I tell you what, it's to be the best, well, the best spent. You say, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about what the 8th commandment is. What is it? Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal. So not God only gives you enough for yourself, but he gives you more to help others. He's going to give you the time. He's going to give you the money, resource. He's going to give you, and where is it? It's the joy of your life. There ought to be joy in doing that. If it's God's will and God's purpose, yeah, think about it. Is that not the demonstration of the Lord Jesus himself? When he came, he didn't come for himself. He came to give. And so when you think of these commandments and remind your kids and every one of their behaviors, good or bad, can line up under one of these commandments. Remember we talked about adultery last week. What is behind it? Remember we took words that were synonymous with adultery. Some of you weren't here. What was some of the words? Deceit. Remember that? You know, trickery, treachery, right? So when you see deceit and treachery, what commandment are they? What's that fall under? You know, they can't. There's a lack of trust, right? You've broken a trust, broken a vow. All right, that's all I have for you. Any questions? Yeah. Conscience, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Conscience is a very important part. You know, your kids have a conscience. And you, whether you realize it or not, they know already right and wrong. They really do. It doesn't, there's nothing. You had something, Debbie? Giving. So this life purpose is to be giving. It might be a practice. I don't know. I actually got through parenting, and I didn't have all the tools that I hope that you'll have more tools than I had. And probably the main tool I didn't have in parenting was the very idea that we've been talking about here. Is that seeking God's help? I did not do that. I did it once in a while. But most of it was just grit my teeth and muscle through. And that's not what God wants you to do. God wants to help you with your training and your teaching and your loving and your modeling. And He will help you. And by the way, let me say this so that I don't want anybody to go away feeling like in despair. You're going to make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. And you probably made a lot of mistakes already. But just confess it and say, God, I want to change that. I want to be more consistent. You know what? God is so merciful. And He will help you. All right. Well, let's...